Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from Man Camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from the weekend.
Joy to teach God's word, but I see fellows that can sing, and I just get just a little bit of envy because I've said this many times, but as a preacher, the Lord allows me and gives me the honor of putting words in your ears. But as worship leaders, those boys get the task of putting words on your lips. And there's something powerful about choosing to proclaim truths. Regardless of where our circumstances are at, regardless of what our emotions are telling us, to declare truths because they're true and because God is good. Amen?
Amen.
And it's already happening to me, man. This idea, this reality of how central a submissive heart, a yielded heart is to our faith, it will forever change the way we sing that song. I've never thought about I will be content in every circumstance as a statement of submission, but that's exactly what it is. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to trust your sovereignty. I'm going to trust your goodness, which means I can receive whatever you choose to give, regardless of what I perceive you've given him, her, or them. And I'm going to simply trust you as I continue on. Well, I'm aware of the clock. I know I'm speaking to a group of men. Some of you are already kind of typing in your GPS and seeing if you can beat the traffic home. Chill out. We got about 20 more minutes together, okay? I always like to do this, and I don't get any kickbacks, I promise, but I'm a little bit biased. I told you I'm kind of a Man Camp OG. I'm kind of a Miracle Camp OG. I've been coming for, whether it's teen retreats or family camps or man camps, I've been coming to Miracle Camp since 2004, so for 20 years. And what I can tell you in that 20 years is that some staff has changed, the facility has grown, they continue to make improvements, but what is constant is Jesus is placed first and foremost.
Amen.
And those who serve, serve with a posture and a desire that both embodies Jesus and points others to Jesus. They get this come under, not lord over thing. Amen? And so I think Eric's the only staff in the room, but can we just give Miracle Camp an incredible round of applause? I like to joke a lot, and God hasn't struck me down yet, but I kind of verge on the sarcasm, kind of can be heresy, but I often say I don't love Jesus enough to work at camp, because this is a hard life. Think about it, guys. You're on a weekend, and Eric's sitting here instead of being with his church family. And they do it day in and day out and week in and week out. And I've never, and I'm up here a lot and I'm with them a lot, I've never heard them complain. Ever. Not once. And so we just need to be thankful for this place. And if this is your first time to Miracle Camp and you're like, man, I wish my kids had a place like this. They got all kinds of stuff for kids regardless of age. They got stuff for wives. Like, just spend some time on Miracle Camp's website and you will be amazed at how committed they are to supporting the local church and to supporting you as families of the King. Amen?
Amen.
All right, well, I told you our motto, or my kind of motto for Man Camp where men come to play like boys, amen, only be reminded by the aches and the pains that they're men. How many people are hurting a little bit this morning? Okay, yeah. So my brother James Buds. James, are you in here? Yeah, okay, all right. So not only am I going to brand that, but now I got an image for it. Take a look at James here. Man Camp, where men come to play like boys. I'm pleased to announce that no humans were harmed in the filming of this picture. Well, that's it, isn't it? I mean, that's Man Camp to a kiki, right? I think, put that on a t-shirt. I'll buy that thing. Anyway. But here's, joking aside, here's what I'm convinced, and many of you have heard me say this before, but the older I become and the more I hang around guys and the more I hang around guys who are willing to be truthful about the matter, it's not just a slogan, men. I'm convinced that every man on the planet is more like a scared little boy, a confused little boy, trying to figure out this thing called life than any of us dare to admit. And I used to think I was going to outgrow that. And now I'm discovering, no, that only becomes more and more the case. That the more you mature in this life, the more immature you realize you are. The more secure in Jesus you become, the more insecurities you have to give to Jesus on a day-to-day basis. And I see a lot of my senior saints, going to give themselves, you know, a neck ache by nodding so hard. Men, let's just go in with our eyes open. Jesus never desires us to outgrow our need for him. Amen? And so I think it's appropriate, since I, even though I know age-wise we're a bunch of men here, my experience tells me I'm still speaking to a bunch of boys. And so I think it's appropriate, given our topic this weekend, that we end by taking a look at Jesus once again, but specifically looking at boy Jesus. Because I think boy Jesus has something else to teach us about this yielded heart that he has come to give us. And so we're going to be in Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. If you will, with the aches and the pains and the groans and the stiffness, stand one more time. Yeah, there it is. Come on. It's all right. You got all year to rest up. I hope to see you boys back here next fall, okay? And I already told Eric and Ross, don't plan anything else on Man Camp weekend next fall because we're going to just fill the place up. Sound good?
Yep.
All right, so, Lord, I have plans.
Lord, I have plans.
Lord, I have preferences.
Lord, I have preferences.
I am filled with fears and desires.
I am filled with fears and desires.
Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Amen, amen. Stay standing. Hear the word of the Lord, men. Luke chapter 2. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Hashtag parenting fail. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Hashtag parent fail again. They began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Pay attention to that. What posture is that? Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother, yeah, Jesus had one too, said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Man, the Bible's rich some days. "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have a seat. Can you imagine losing the Son of God for like 3 days? I was a youth pastor for a lot of years, and it wasn't my own kid, but it was the daughter of one of my youth volunteers, precious family to me, and it was at a small camp that was like one of these camps that's sort of landlocked, so it's in the middle of a little town, and it was, I don't know, 10, 11 o'clock at night, and somebody said, "Nate, we can't find Danielle." And I'm like, "Huh?" And so we go on, it was a small camp, so we put like all 80 kids that were attending to look for Danielle, and we're all searching Danielle, and I'm starting to sweat because this is my worst nightmare as a youth pastor, is to lose a kid. And as we're searching, again, it's in the middle of a town, there's these pickup trucks that don't have any mufflers, and they're racing through town, and immediately my thoughts start going worst case scenario. And we've been searching for 45, 60 minutes. I'm like, "All right, we can't search any longer. This is getting irresponsible." I'm getting ready to call Mike and Cindy, Danielle's parents, to say, "We're going to put out an Amber Alert." I have the area code dialed in my phone. And somebody goes, "Nate, we found her." And I'm like, "Thank you, Jesus." She goes, "Everybody was being too loud, so I went over to a corner and she slept. She just took a nap without telling anybody in the middle of the night." But that is the closest I've ever come to like losing a kid. and it was horrifying. I can't imagine what Joseph and Mary were thinking losing Jesus for 3 days. Okay? Again, Mary knew how precious this child was, and now, 12 years old, she lost him. And yet, in what I would love to think is a sarcastic response of Jesus, but it's not, because he's sinless in both deed and attitude. He looks to his mom when his mom pulls the classic mom line, right? How could you do this to us? Have you anybody hear that? Yeah. As a kid, it was just me and my mom for a while, and I used to love to go to the department store and like hide in the clothes racks. Yeah. And mom would go, Nathan, where are you? And she knew, and she's like rushing like a mad woman, you know, trying to go through. And I never said this, but I could have popped out and go, Mom, where did you think I was? I'm where I always am, right? Jesus, not in a sarcastic way, not in a defiant way, but in a true to his heart way, says, where did you think I would be? Because remember, men, horizontal submission flows from submissive trust, flows from the vertical, right? So it shouldn't surprise us that even boy Jesus understands that his first and foremost trust is in the Heavenly Father. And so he's in the temple, but what I love about boy Jesus, they were amazed at his understanding, but what's he doing in his father's house? We think he's teaching, and I'm sure some teaching flowed, but what does the text tell us he was doing? Listening and asking questions. Do you see the submissive posture of Jesus? The one who created it all in 12 years old, who could have wowed everybody, jumped on the stage and say, look, I know more than your teachers and I'm only 12. No, he shows up and he's asking questions. He's listening. It's absolutely, again, I'll tell you, just read your Bibles. You will see the strength of Jesus and you will see the submission of Jesus. And I dare you to try to separate the two because you can't. They're right there. They're astonished at his understanding, even by the questions that he asks. But then the aha for the text of me, and this is the point I want to make this morning, it lies in verse 51. Jesus tells Mom Mary, you know where I be? He's asking questions. He's taking on the posture of a submissive heart. But then look at what boy Jesus does in verse 51. He leaves Jerusalem, the epicenter of religious thought, and he goes back to Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Even in his choice of where he would grow up, he chooses the lowly. And then what's the text tell us? He was what? Obedient to them. In other words, he willingly yielded to their lead. He's clearly identified, listen, I am my father's boy before I am your boy, but because I am my father's boy, I'm going to be obedient and respect you as your boy. Here's the key truth this morning, men. Respect for others flows. If I yielded heart to the Lord, it's just the simple truth of the matter. If I will yield my heart to the Lord, my respect can flow to you. See, Jesus knew who his father was, yet he goes back to Nazareth. He's obedient to Mary and Joseph. Why? Because he's submitted to his father. I can be respectful to those above me. I can be respectful to those besides me. And I can be respectful to those under me because ultimately it's my sovereign good God I am trusting and to whom I'm submitting. You catch that? When I am submitting to my Father, when I am trusting to my Father, I am freed to overflow with submissive respect to you, regardless of if you're over me and acting like the leader I think you should or shouldn't, regardless of if you're my peer and I'm among you, or regardless if you're my boy and you're underneath me, I can respect you because ultimately I'm submitting to him. There's an election coming, men. I need some more amens. Because whoever is on our little American throne, we can respect them because we yield to him. And if you're more passionate, but if you're more passionate about your constitution than you are about your word, your priorities are reversed. Can I just say that? Praise God for the country we live in. Praise God for the freedoms we have. But Jesus was around long before America came to be, and Jesus will be around long after America is gone. We are not Americans first. We are followers of Jesus. And followers of Jesus are free to submit. Followers of Jesus are free to be citizens and serve and bless and want to work for the good of the country they find themselves in. Amen? Amen. So this isn't some, you know, give America the bird because I follow Jesus. This is roll up my sleeves and help because I follow Jesus. Amen. But we get that wrong in the church. And then you see this throughout Scripture. So I'm just going to fly through a bunch of these. In the workplace, because I have a yielded heart to the Lord, my respect for others can flow. Watch where all this is. Colossians 3, 23 to 24. Whatever you do, okay? What do you do for a living? Good, it applies. Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart. Some of your heart while you're on the clock? No, all of your heart. As working for who? The Lord, not human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from who? The Lord as your reward. It is who? The Lord Jesus Christ you're serving. You get the point? See, I'm not the only one that's redundant. Scripture can be fairly redundant. Look at home. Ephesians 5, 21. Right before wives submit to your husbands, don't start reading the passage there. Read it. Start at verse 21. What's verse 21 say? Submit to one another out of reverence for who?
Christ.
Again, one of my tangents. But I don't love Amanda for what I gain, but I don't just love Amanda for what she gains. I've got to learn to love Amanda for what Jesus receives out of my love for Amanda. I can't have a me-focused marriage, but neither can I have a her-focused marriage. See, too many of you are trying to have a her-focused marriage because the shrinks and the psychologists of the day say you need to work for the good of the person you're married to. Yes, but only because I'm submitted to Jesus. And so I can love her even at times when she's unlovely because it's Jesus I'm loving. And I hope she can love me all the times I'm unlovely because it's Jesus she's loving. A Jesus-centered marriage is the only way it works at home.
Amen.
Civically, I already did my soapbox, but look at what Scripture has to say. Romans 13, 1 to 5. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, but only if they're Republicans. Or only if they're Democrats. Or only if they're independents. Nope. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. God, what are you doing? Are you out of your mind giving us the leaders? Well, remember, Nero was emperor when this was written. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against who? What God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on who? Themselves, not the political officials you're railing against. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of one in authority? Here's your answer. Then do what is right and you'll be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, even when they don't recognize it. Agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of the possible punishment, but also as a matter of what? Conscience. Because who is the ruler? Who is the Lord? Jesus. Finally, as Peter writes, respect should flow out of anyone who is ultimately submitted to Christ for anyone. Respect should flow to anyone for anyone. Look at 1 Peter 2:17. Live as free people. And he's writing this to some people who are enslaved people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Live as God's slaves. I had a gentleman come up to me after the first night. where we reread in a passage, and the translation translated the word doulos to servant, where that word literally means slave. And he was like, do you know that? I'm like, yeah, I got that. But what we don't realize is we think of slavery, as we should, as this horrific against your will thing. And it was that way for some cases in scriptural times too. But in scriptural times, lots of times slaves were indentured servants, which we have no concept for in our culture. See, we don't have debtor's prison anymore. In those times, if you owed somebody and you couldn't pay, you didn't get to file for bankruptcy. You had to indenture yourself as their servant, as their slave, to pay that off. Well, here's the good news of the gospel. Jesus comes to you and becomes your indentured servant, not for a debt that he owes you, but for a debt that you owe him. And he says, yeah, I'll take on the posture of an indentured servant and pay off your debt to me and to my Father. Show proper respect to everyone. I mean, I didn't know if we'd do boy Jesus. I didn't know if we'd do Jesus before Pilate. I didn't know if we'd do Jesus where he's confronted with who do we give the coin to. It's all over the place. Show proper respect for everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. That was written to the first century church. Honor the emperor who's lighting you all up in his courtyard. Here's the truth of the matter, guys. Horizontal respect is the downspout of vertical submission. Horizontal respect is the downspout of vertical submission. When I am submitting to the Father, what flows out of my submission to the Father is respect for you and everyone around me. Amen? You got it? Okay, I want to leave you with three tangible ways I think respect can and should be flowing from a heart that is yielded to Jesus in all situations. And I'm not going to try to tie these to Scripture. They're throughout the counsel of Scripture, but just real practical. Here's one way you respect those God's placed you among. Be present. Just be present. Show up. Show up when you don't feel like it. Show up on time. And don't just be present, but be attentive. Look out not only for your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Men, we got these things in our pockets called phones, and man, they are the number one distractor to us being present. Young dads, put it down. Put it down. Even if it doesn't matter, yeah, I've seen my kid swing 50,000 times. He's going to go forward, then he's going to go back, then he's going to go forward, then he's going to go back. It's not going to hurt anybody to check the score right now. Yes, it will. Put it down. Be present. You know what your little kids are going to be asking you? Dad, you watching? Dad, you watching? You're lying. And you're not respecting your child. And you're not respecting the one God who gave you your child. Be present. Be attentive. Listen well to the verbals and the nonverbals. And men, we're not good at that. Be present, be attentive, and finally, be representative. Let it be Christ in me that they see. It's another great prayer. For those of you guys who, I don't know how to pray, here's one for you. Lord, let it be Christ in me they see. And they can apply to anybody. Lord, let it be Christ in me they see. Luke 6:40, a student's not above his teacher, but when fully trained will be like his teacher. Translation, those who you influence are going to in some way, shape, or form become like you. Are you okay with that? The only way I'm okay with that is if I'm learning to become more and more like Jesus. Amen. So I need to be representative of Jesus so that those who are around me who are becoming like me are truly just becoming like Jesus. As Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. That's all I got, men. I am convinced that living with a yielded heart is one of the most manly, godly, manly characteristics we can aspire. There is a submissive strength that is available to us only and always in Jesus. There is a submissive posture that he calls us to, and it's one he takes with us and others, and he invites us to learn how to come under rather than lord over people. There is a submissive trust in him that is absolutely required. I hope 2 months from now you're wrestling through something in life and you can hear that big bald guy from Miracle Camp representing the Lord and saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me? And in that moment, may the Spirit prompt you to pray, not my will, but your will be done. I don't understand it, but because you said so, there's a trust that's required. And then finally this morning, there is a submissive respect that will flow into any and every relationship we have. And so Eric's going to come back up, share a few announcements, but I think it's fitting one more time if you'll stand with me. You can do it. Come on, man. Thanks for being so submissive. We'll talk about not grumbling next time. We've been praying it all weekend, and the first night when I had you repeat after me, you were kind of thinking, what? Huh? How's this apply? Hopefully now these words are genuine words that come off our lips. Amen? Let's pray together. Lord, we have plans.
Lord, we have plans.
Lord, we have preferences.
Lord, we have preferences.
We are filled with fears and desires.
We are filled with fears and desires.
Nevertheless, not our will, but your will be done. And all God's men said,
amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's Man Camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.